Think to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. I want to read verses 12 through 20 tonight. In Isaiah chapter 59, I think this is a prophetic section of the Word of God, and certainly we look forward to the Lord's return. It could be at any moment. And what a day that will be when our Redeemer comes back to for us, and then when we come back with Him to this earth to rule and reign in a kingdom like none others. What a day. And so we want to talk about this tonight in Isaiah 59, verses 12 through 20. The Bible says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." Father, we thank you for your precious word tonight, and for what you want to accomplish in our hearts as we think of our nation. And Lord, we marvel at the grace that you have bestowed upon our nation and the mercy. And Lord, we ask that our nation might be turned back to you, that we might be the people of God that you desire, that you can bless. And so, Lord, we thank you for the tremendous sacrifice that you made in our behalf, that we can have so great salvation. And Father, we thank you for the many victories that you have given to our nation, as those that have bravely given their lives, that we might have the nation that believes in freedom. And Father, we pray that that freedom might continue to be in our nation. And Father, we know that it is only of your grace that that is possible. And tonight we would just pray as well for our hearts, that we might be drawn closer to you, and that we might glorify you with our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just say it's certainly good to have Barry and Robin with us again, and certainly thankful for that. Robin, Karen's sister, and Barry, her brother-in-law, and what a wonderful thing that is tonight. Certainly, as we look at truth is fallen in the streets tonight, truth is no longer absolute to many people in America. If you add 2 + 2 these days, some educators believe that you can decide, you can have any answer that you desire. The same pseudo-philosophy is being applied to history and science and religion. The game of manipulation of truth to say whatever you want it to say is being played by the young and old alike. The political arena is awash with their claims of transparency while laughing behind our backs. The educational scene is now so corrupt that they are rewriting textbooks to accommodate a cultural revolution. I remember being in high school, and I went to a public high school in the Twin Cities area, and I actually learned more about Russian history than I did about American history. And now I think of our children. They want to completely erase 1776 and put 1619 in there when the slaves were in Virginia, so they can say we're a nation of oppression. Well, folks, we are not a perfect nation, but we are striving towards a perfect union. Amen? And so we need to remember that. And then as we think about these things, certainly they hate the foundations of America, these that are not speaking truth anymore. I was aghast when I opened my computer today and saw a picture of a man standing at a fireworks. And the fireworks were there in display, and the man looked saddened and looked down, and it said, "How many of you are ambivalent about July the 4th? Well, I am not ambivalent, and I'm glad you're not either tonight. I am shouting hallelujah that I live in America. I've gone behind the Iron Curtain just after the revolution took place in Eastern Europe, and I saw the way those people suffered. My father's told me the stories of Japan and China from World War II and what he saw there. Folks, we are a privileged nation. Certainly, the entertainment industry, film and television and internet and music, is polluted with the filth that defies decency many times. They sell immorality. Where the news was once reported with some degree of accuracy. I kind of miss Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. Yes, I haven't found that yet for a long time. It says, where the news once was reported with some degree of accuracy, most of the networks today are leftist propaganda machines. The religious crowd has faltered and forfeited its hold on truth. They have replaced truth in the pulpits with the winds of change, contrary to Ephesians chapter 4. And contemporary ministry is many times built on that which pleases the culture and not God. Evil proliferates where truth is not present. And when the truth of God is not welcome, pride, prejudice, perverseness parade pompously through the streets. Certainly, those are the words of Shelton Smith that I quoted some from this morning, who is the editor of Sword of the Lord, and I'm thankful for what he wrote there. I think it is so true. This forsaking of truth was manifest in the days of Isaiah and is being fulfilled today in the last days and will be in the future, as Isaiah 59 predicts will happen in the tribulation. Can you imagine how little truth there will be in the tribulation, as Satan has global control? Certainly, America is seeing a deterioration of truth because she has abandoned the founding principles of our Constitution and the truth of God's Word. Truth has fallen in the streets of America, in the hearts of many, but not among all. Praise God. During the Great Tribulation, following the rapture of the church, the world will be sent to strong delusion so that they believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12 say, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, the world stage is set for the great lie that's coming. And people will be certainly deceived and sadly damned when they believe the lie of Antichrist. Truth is a precipitous global fall in a precipitous global fall today, but there is coming a day when truth will prevail as the righteous Lord Jesus Christ comes and he returns to this earth. I'm looking forward to a literal kingdom. I know there's many that don't believe in a literal kingdom, but I believe that this book is absolute truth. Amen? That kingdom is going to be on here on earth for 1,000 years, and Christ will rule and reign, and that will turn into the eternal kingdom. And so I want us to talk about truth that falls in the streets and some of the things that happened here in amongst God's people back in the Old Testament. Isaiah is writing about 700 BC, and he's talking about the conditions of the people and their hearts. And he says that these conditions have silenced truth. He says, certainly, as we look here in verse 12, he says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us." Certainly, as we look at that, there were many forms of sin. Transgressions is stepping over the line of God's standards that he has established. Certainly, as Paul would say, many times when God says no, people want to say yes. And when God says yes, people want to say no. If you read what Romans has to say about that in Paul's own life before he was saved. And all too often amongst those that are saved as well, transgressions, sin, falling short of God's perfect standard. My, how we fall short in our lives today as a people of God. Iniquity, twisted and perverted God's standards. I sometimes cringe to think about why the fire and the brimstone is not falling upon America when we see what is transpiring in society and in our culture and being promoted. Sin has these three forms that are mentioned in verse 12, but it also gets down to verse 13. And it says there, "In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." Do you notice those are participles that are in the present tense? This was happening amongst God's people. It was constant. They were practicing it habitually. Sin is not hidden from God. And certainly we only deceive our hearts when we say that we have no sin. Certainly we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ when we come to know him, but we still sin. And if you think you don't sin as a Christian, you have missed 1 John chapter 1. You need to read it again. So, sin is also defiance against God. David spoke clearly about that. Sin flows out of the heart into actions as well. So truth falls in the streets when sin multiplies. Truth also falls in the streets when the righteous are silenced. There are some conditions when truth is silenced. And I believe that the Bible speaks very clearly in verse 14, "And judgment is turned away backward. Justice is reversed." What ought to be is made not, and God's standards are canceled. This day we live in, we talk about the cancel culture and the woke thinking. part of the leftist propaganda. Certainly, that's when justice is reversed. Truth was silenced in the public forum, he says here, and justice standeth afar off. Truth was silenced and brought injustice to the righteous. It says, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter, uprightness cannot enter. Certainly, the indoctrination of evil, they want to tell us that that makes wrong right. Silencing of truth comes not only when justice is reversed, but silence of truth eliminates the uprightness amongst the people. Certainly, if you read any of the stories of the persecution in the Soviet Union, Richard Wurmbrandt and some of the others that suffered so greatly in the Gulag, and others that have suffered over the period of time there, and perhaps even today, as you look at what's happening to some of their figures in Russia today. Certainly, that is so true that these people that try to stand up for right are often persecuted. Certainly, silencing truth today has been something that I've heard on the radio by a famous radio preacher, and he is the pastor of Moody Church, Erwin Lutzer. I mentioned it this morning. He has written a book, We Will Not Be Silenced. Amen. Isn't it our privilege yet to speak out in America?
Yes.
The secular left does not believe America can be fixed, so it must be destroyed, they say. Well, I want to tell you there are people that are still fighting for the preservation of this country. And we need to honor them. In education, sexually explicit curriculum in the schools where people are taught that they are something other than their birth gender at a preschool age. Folks, we need to start going to school board meetings. And we need to start finding out what is being taught to our children here in Boone, Iowa. You say, well, why is that necessary? Well, I sat in a living room with one of our folks that attends here, and they said, we have lost our daughter because she got mixed up by some of the things that were promoted in her education in high school, and now she believes X, that is certainly the wrong thing to believe. That burdens my heart. Social justice warriors inflame racial division. We have the critical race theory. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the critical race theory tonight. And I brought along something that I thought was pretty amazing that just came out in statistics about that. It said this week, released on the polling on critical race theory, the results were not necessarily shocking. 61% agreed that America was not built on white supremacy, and we are not fundamentally a racist country. It's just crazy that what they're saying. 79% agree that children should never be taught that their destiny and inherent value depend upon their skin color. 64% disagreed that white Americans are inherently racist. Only 16% of the respondents across all political spectrums agreed that they want their children to be taught critical race theory. I think that means they're in the minority. The data doesn't lie Americans do not want their children to be taught their worth is based on skin color. New laws are trying to be put through that would attempt to force Christian colleges to compromise a stance on marriage and to surrender to perversion. If necessary, I think we ought to be brave enough to have some homeschool college going on. Certainly, Marxism that seeks to destroy the nuclear family and marriage because it says it causes multiple oppression. Folks, I've been married to that lady for 50 years and I'm not under multiple oppression. She's never told me that she feels that way either. Okay? Marxism that sets up oppression far worse than what they say they are preventing. They say that we have been oppressive to the slaves and so on. But do you know how many the communists in Russia, in Soviet Union, they wiped out in their revolution, some 13 million people? But we had Union soldiers, and I've been to Gettysburg. They gave their lives that those slaves might be set free. Where's that in our history books? Where's that in our public media today? Marxism also has done some other terrible things that we'll talk about in just a moment. But the left does not want to be equal, but to dominate. Their goal is total capitulation of the culture to their point of view. Dissenting voices are shamed into either submission or silence. Folks, America believes in freedom of speech. That goes for both and all people. Living under Marxism today, I was reminded of a story I heard on Our Story in America. I like to listen to that sometimes on Sunday night on WHO. It was the story of Peter Wolf. Has anybody else heard the story of Peter Wolf? I'm not talking about Peter Wolf that's entertainment, okay, or books. This is a real German boy who actually escaped from East Germany before the wall fell. He got on his bicycle one day and he started to ride around, and the Russian soldiers surrounded him, and they told him, "You are too far from your house. Go back home." Aren't you glad we have freedom of travel in America? When I went into Eastern Europe, just after the revolution, I found out that travel was not so easy at the borders. In fact, I tried to come back from Romania into Hungary, and I was delayed several hours until I was forced to bring a man whom I had never met in my life in my vehicle further. Or they would not let me cross the border. Conflicted by indoctrination at school and with his parents, this young boy, Peter, had heard the story of Uncle Tom's Cabin and of African-American slaves in Harriet Beecher Stowe's story, and been told that these people in America were unkind to the slaves so much that they could never be set free. No voting rights to those that made candidate choice that was not approved by the communists occurred when Peter's mother went to vote, she walked up to a table and she had to sign her name by each person that she voted for while a soldier or a policeman watched her. And if she put her signature by the wrong candidate, she went on another list, which meant that she was probably going to go to jail or have a very difficult life at best. Do you see why Peter was a bit conflicted in his thoughts? And then, one day, Peter, he was saddened by the loss of his father. His father committed suicide. You want to know why? His family had worked hard to save Mark's, so that someday they could travel to America to see some of their family that was in America. But in one day, the East German government, which was under communist control, they said that all of your marks have to be transferred to a new currency. And if you have more than 200 marks, all of them belong to the government, not you, because you're not being a good communist if you have more than 200. You need to have the redistribution of the wealth. Can you imagine the sadness in this boy's heart when he lost his father? Certainly, his mother bravely found a way to take his sister across the border where there were supposedly no soldiers, but as they were crossing the border, the soldiers caught up with them and started a rain of bullets, but they made it across into West Germany. But his mother knew she had a son back on the east side, and so she left her precious daughter in the west side with some other folk, and she went back to the east side. That meant a black mark had to be put in her passport so that she could not leave more than 20 kilometers from her house. The mother figured out that she needed to try to get her son to the west as well. And so it was Christmas time, and she put up a Christmas tree so none of the neighbors would suspect, and she packed a small suitcase. And she said to her son, "We are going on a trip." And they got on a train to Berlin. You know, there was East Berlin in those days as well. And as she got there, there were soldiers that came on board, and they were interrogating the people. And as one soldier was interrogating the family in front of them, he noticed that this young boy, Peter, knew Russian from his school. And he said, to this young man, "Do you speak Russian?" And he said, "Da." The soldier had him. Immediately, his mother gripped his hand. And he said, "Why do you think these people in front of you are smiling?" He said, "I think we need to know more about them." And they took them off the train and they did not come back. But finally, the soldiers left them, and the train went further to a stop, and it was a stop that was for a subway between East and West Berlin, and his mother knew that. He got off the train with his mother in the nick of time, and they got on the subway and made their way into West Berlin. amazing story. But as I listened to that story, did you hear anything that I heard in this story? Does it sound anything like America today? Are voting rights being challenged? Do they want to redistribute the wealth? And do we see that they like to control people today and what they do and where they go and how they go? Folks, I don't know how long before we have a wall around America, but I do know that we have a great deliverer. And we still do have those in the military that are objecting to this nonsense. And we need to pray for them. And that God will preserve our freedoms. But how can we as a church respond to those that seek to destroy the truth? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Perhaps we've got just a little too proud in our freedom. And pray. Folks, the government is not the answer. When I lived in Holland, there was a little phrase that they would repeat over and over. We have all of our needs met from the cradle to the grave. So why do we need anything more than the government? Let me tell you, there wasn't the freedoms in Holland that we have in America. And seek my face. When the Old Testament kings knew they were in trouble like Jehoshaphat, they would seek God's face and God would respond and come and deliver them. And turn from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to trust a God who is greater than falsehoods and the false gods of today. We must present the gospel biblically with gentleness and respect, as 1 Peter 3:15 says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We are to earnestly contend for the faith, clearly separate the true from the false, and reality from delusions. We must despise and repent of our sin that others may see Christ living in us. That means confessing and forsaking our sin, as Proverbs 28:13 says. But truth also falls in the streets, when Antichrist has global rule. His global rule will come through global control of economics, of all transactions, global religion, the worship of Antichrist on threat of death, global conquest through military power, global alliance of all nations, global suppression of all opposition. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, you get to Revelation chapter 18. I don't have time to go through that tonight, but in verses 20 to 23, Babylon, Antichrist's empire, comes to a screeching halt. And the doom of Antichrist, let's take our Bibles and turn there. I want you to see what's going to happen to Antichrist. We need to have the knowledge that God is going to take care of these things. And so in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20, it says, and the beast was taken, that's Antichrist, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's the end of Antichrist. I prefer to be on the winning side, don't you? On Jesus' side. Truth will prevail. and never will fall when Jesus returns to this earth. And when the Lord comes, he's going to be clothed with righteousness, but also with a vengeance and a wrath. And he's going to tread the winepress, as Isaiah chapter 63 says. He will be glorious in his apparel, and red is on his apparel because of the blood that is going to flow to the horse's bridles as he defeats all of the armies of this world. All the nations of this world are going to go against God's people in Jerusalem and against God. But Jesus Christ is going to step out of heaven, and when he says the word, they're all dead. And I love what it says in verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Certainly Christ will deliver his people in righteousness. Certainly God can be merciful while demonstrating wrath upon sin and those that have hardened and rejected the Savior in his final deliverance. Let me say this today. It's not our job to be vengeful today against those that believe contrary to us. The Lord's going to take care of all this. We can stand up for truth without being vengeful. And Paul would write to the Romans, and he was under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 to 21, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that's not easy, folks. But that's what we need to do. So that people can see that there is grace with God and mercy with God today. And that they might turn to him before our Savior steps out of glory. Matthew 24, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Zechariah 14, 2 says, all nations are going to come against Jerusalem. All nations. Can we get that down in our hearts? I can't fathom this. This is going to be a global surge on Jerusalem. We think that Israel's had a tough time, but this is nothing like what's going to happen in the tribulation. But Christ rules. And I want us to turn back there to Zechariah chapter 14. To me, this is just so amazing. Zechariah, just before the last book in the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 14, he says in verse 2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. But after the Lord comes, and his kingdom is set up, it says in verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Folks, God has a remnant, and he will have one even in the tribulation. And God's prophetic truth of what he is going to do when he comes back in the year of redemption, spoken of in Isaiah 63, and as the Redeemer that's going to come to Zion, he's going to deliver his people. Take heart, folks. There is hope. And someday, these few years that we have upon this earth are going to look so trivial to compare to 1,000 years with Jesus.
Amen.
Let us look forward and let us speak the truth while we have opportunity yet to speak the truth, that others might come to Him. Now is the time to be true to the one who is the truth, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Oh, how it speaks to our hearts. We thank you for those brave souls that have lived under persecution and lived to see many times hardships, but also to see many souls coming to Jesus Christ. And many, Father, willing to give their lives, knowing that they had a better future than to live under the conditions where truth was fallen in the streets. And so, Lord, we put our faith in you, the one who is the truth, and we thank you that you said in your word that the truth shall set you free, and that when through the Son of God we can be those that are set free indeed. And so, Lord, we thank you for these things, and we thank you for what you will accomplish as we serve you in these perilous days. In Jesus' name, amen.